Good morning, the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners. Work session is now in session for Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. It's 9 a.m. We'll now stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's a work session, so we won't, anyway, I'm just gonna, for the recording, I just wanna make sure we have a record of who's here, so I'll take the secretary's out. I'll take roll. Commissioner Rochford's here. Commissioner Reagan?
Here.
Commissioner Ralph?
Here.
Commissioner Pinkley is not here, and Commissioner Smith is not here. All right, today's discussion topic, the first one is fire hydrants and quotes, and for the audience, before I go on to the next topic, I'll open it up for any questions or comments from the audience. So the first one, I'll open it up with fire hydrant quotes. So in front of us, we have two quotes, and we'll put it up on the board. The first one is the Bell Construction Valve LLC quote. And looking through these, it looks like...
This isn't the one.
Yep, it is.
Okay. Yeah, it says Bell Construction.
Yeah. Yep, you're good. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, this is the one. So then the other one is from, who has it in front of them?
Fire Hydrant Services and Repair.
Yeah, Fire Hydrant Services and Repair out of those Lockingsburg, Arkansas. Okay. Those are the only two we have right now, and Rick, I'll let you give an overview if you can of what we got right here, but I know from talking with you, we've had trouble trying to find people to get bids for.
Yeah, I mean, I've sent out emails to companies. Dave found the first one, the fire hydrant service repair, which we reached out to them, got a full quote on that, and then the Bell Construction. And the main thing is they go through, they do the flushing, they check the parts, and we can do a one-time fee of $3,250, or we can sign a contract with them for twice a year coming in. And then they also, they report back and do the ISO reporting for us. So that's all taken care of. We don't have to worry about the ISO reporting, the flushing, the maintenance. The Bell is also does valve insertions and other stuff around that too.
Aren't they also going to do some painting?
Yeah, they can do the flow rate and testing of all that, and then they'll paint and put the correct color on the nozzles.
And price-wise, but the bids are pretty much identical for each.
They are. I mean, they're definitely apples to apples.
$35 for one visit and $65
for the contract.
For the contract.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask if Dave Dobrin wants to comment on this.
Oh, sure.
He originally
put that idea. That's right.
My name is Dave Dobrin, and I live in Holiday Island, Oak Point, and I did give a submission for this bid, but what I found out was I needed to be licensed to do all that, and for it to count, it has to be recorded, and I don't have that capability, so
okay. Okay, well then that's
thank
why
you.
We asked.
The one-time flushing maintenance bid is $8,000, and then if we signed the contract, I figured it was going to be right around $14,000. So the contract was going to save us a little bit in the long run than the one-time flushing. But
from this is my perspective, looking at the bids, when we're talking lubricating, they give us the flush, the whole maintenance, the painting, at $35, or actually even at $65, that comes to roughly $15,000 for the annual.
Mm-hmm.
I know we budgeted 30 because we had no idea really what this was going to cost. Now we've got two of three bids. For the amount of labor and the timing and being able to get this done, if we were to do it ourselves, we've already heard that. It's really labor intensive for us to be able to get it done, especially if we need to. I don't see the fire chief or assistant chief here today, but...
No, he's busy.
Okay.
I was going to call on Dan to come up and give his little two cents work, too.
Exactly. I'd like to hear what their thoughts are from, of course, you know, $15,000 to me sounds like the right way to go to maintain. And the next question I have is, let's say that in this list, they say, oh, fire hydrant X, and I see him coming. Fire hydrant X, Y, and Z really need to be replaced, right? Well, they give a quotes of how much that would cost, but those seem pretty high. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting up there $500 to $1,000 per hydrant. We could then, correct me if I'm wrong, do our own maintenance and repair ourselves, correct?
Yeah, I'm sure once they find a hydrant doesn't work, I mean, we keep hydrants on hand, and plus the price of hydrants right now are like $2,500 a piece. Up.
Higher?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The price of hydrants are outrageous. And that's just for a plain, normal hydrant. Then you start buying hydrants that got flow tests built into them and all this other stuff. I mean, you're...
Right.
So their prices weren't that far off for putting one in.
Okay.
Do we know how many bad ones we have?
No.
Okay.
I thought at one time someone said we had like 4 or 5.
Yeah, who knows?
And I mean,
they did, last summer, they did, what did you do, 15 flushes?
Yeah.
And they worked. But, I mean, when was the last time we've done, it's been at least, what, 6 years since they've done a full-blown flushing service?
Dave, we're talking about the fire hydrant flushing.
Okay.
And I asked the question, do we know how many dead ones we have right now?
It's unknown, yeah.
We've entertained and received 2 bids on flushing the fire hydrant.
Right.
Do you have any input that you'd like to share with us?
I hate to say it, but just for the recording.
So looking at the 2 bids, I would probably, if I were making the decision, I would go with a construction company simply because of their background. They install fire hydrants as well, and it just feels more than just a job for them. They're going to have a vested interest in making our fire hydrants the best that they can be.
Can you clarify which one you're talking about, the construction?
That's Bell.
Bell. Bell. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. And as far as dead hydrants, I have no idea.
Do you know of any at this time?
I do not know.
Okay, thank you.
Is there one right up here that's got an out-of-service ring on it, I think? But I'm not sure how the water department marks dead hydrants.
And for inspection-wise, I think we covered this in the past. We're supposed to have this at least once a year, all the hydrants flush. Is that correct? Serviced, maintained, and inspected, correct?
Yeah, you should. And so that way you got a log of everything that you have.
So that's why this is such a priority.
ISO ratings.
Yeah.
That's why it's such a priority. And so obviously we want to get this executed as quick as we can. But from, of course, while you're up there, so from a, you've done this in the past, I'm sure, you know, you've done this. For the price we're looking at, what are your thoughts on, is this kind of a reasonable $35 per hydrant to do what they're asking to get it done?
I've never participated or been a part of an organization that outsourced the work. It sounds very reasonable to me for the work that they're doing, and especially if that includes color coding the hydrants, which is something that we desperately need as a fire department.
How long would it typically take 2 firemen to do 1 hydrant? And I guess what I'm looking at is this price of $32.50 per hydrant. That's 2 men. At 32, that's $16 per guy per hour.
Right.
Which even if they did it in a half an hour, it's still pretty cheap.
So for me, the key is the fact that they do this a lot and they know how to work through issues that may arise. You know, if we come across a situation where we can't get the Allen screw out of the back for oil, you know, what do we do then? Whereas they're going to have the ability to fix that and remedy it and move on as if nothing happened.
So I agree.
That's a good point.
I think that it's in our best interest initially that we get someone in here that can service the hydrants, understand 100% how a fire hydrant works and can troubleshoot anything that they may come across.
I would agree with that.
I think most of my questions have been answered at least. So anybody else have it on the board?
Well, I think we're in good shape. We just need one more bid and we can approve it.
I'll open it up for audience. I don't want to say anything else. So any audience questions for bids that they want to have? Rebecca? We can bring it over.
Yeah.
Bring it over.
Rebecca Sherman, Wild Turkey Drive. I have a statement to start with. When you put out your agenda, the way you phrased this one was fire hydrant contracts. So in the world of social media that I know you all just really don't like anyways, I put your topics up. And what I've learned, either people have me blocked, they just don't read the whole thread when it folds itself. And they thought you were just buying brand new hydrants all across, because not everybody, as such as myself, listens to all the meetings, let alone attends a few. And today's topics brought me here. That's my first one.
Yeah.
Of course, I know, because I've listened to this discussion, that you had compared, and you've talked a little bit about the price of employees. And my one thought as fire department is talking. So you take them, you put them out there working on it, and the alarm goes off. Mm-hmm. So now you've got, they gotta go. Something's sitting there that's not complete. Contract service does not have to leave. I think that's a good thing. Oh, and this water system satellite group, whatever that's called.
Astera.
Okay. That the whoever you contract will, they will be made aware of whatever you discovered, not knowing where the hydrants are. I don't know where all the hydrants are. You might find one down the road from me. Still requires, it had a problem. I thought it was replaced or fixed. So how much of the water and the satellite group would the contractor need to be aware of?
Well, I can speak a little bit to that. So Astera has, and we actually supply Astera with a database full of where all our hydrants are located, all our water lines, and that probably we would share with whichever company we go with. So they'd obviously have all the system where they could go to see what lines are there. So there's that. And then in some of these contracts, I don't remember which one it is, they say they put it into, as part of the contract, they then put it into their database for...
It's all mapped.
All mapped electronically in their database that we have access to. And we probably, Rich, maybe say, hey, by the way, are we able to share that with Astera? So that if they say, oh, hydrant X is leak, we think is leaking, then obviously we would tell Astera, hey, when you come back out to do the check hydrant X, because they may have found something that looks weird or set when they do the sound. So there is a crosstalk, just like same crosstalk we're doing like with the roads. We're trying to prioritize where the leaks are in the roads that the city owns ahead of time, or not owns, but it has been dedicated right away, so that they hopefully will fix those lines before we come in and repave those roads. So we are doing a lot of back and forth trying to make sure that each of the companies are aware of what's going on. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes sense to me. I only brought it up so you'd state that.
Okay.
And that, because I'm now sending people to the water page. where all your information about them is at and all the well discussions are at. You have a website, Hyacinth Crescents, that I think I might be the only person that leaks that stuff to. So.
I do have one other question. Are we good?
I'm done.
Okay. I do have one other question for the group here and with both the fire department and the water department. So in my research, I'm coming up with two different numbers. I had 206 hydrants and 226 hydrants. Do we, what is the correct number of hydrants that we have? For our bids, we're using 226, the higher number.
That was a rough count that I took off the sheet that we had originally with the lines and the number of pages that I came up roughly with 220.
Okay.
I can give you exact number after the meeting.
Well, if we get this contract done, we'll know exactly because everyone will be, from the map we have, they'll have it for us. It was more of a, just an estimating thing because, that's fine.
Yeah. That is our estimate.
That is our estimate. 226 is our highest.
When I sent the bids out, I just did a quick count on the papers I have from the previous flushes and just sent out, says roughly 220.
Okay, anything else?
And then your Ben, I think, is just in our budget. So.
Yeah.
But that's a good point.
Not a big issue even.
If I'm 14 hydrants high, that's just more money we get saved.
All right. So I think we'll go ahead and move on to the next topic.
Wait a minute. Do you know about that?
No. What?
On fire hydrant service agreement. With Bell Construction.
Okay.
Page 3. It says City of Holiday Island will be billed $3,250 per hydrant completed on each visit.
Correct. So that what that equates to is
meaning the city. It doesn't say.
I'm talking about Hyacinth. It's
not
first.
Saying Hyacinth.
Oh, that's good.
It says City of Holiday
Island. Right.
Got
city
it.
So what seems to be the problem?
Good point.
I'll get that changed.
Yeah. Okay. All right, moving on to the next. Regulation, this is a draft regulation, 2026, which is not even numbered yet, this is a work session. Road dedication of 1.8 miles. It's a draft. Do we have that? Can you bring that up? It should be the Word document, I believe.
Yeah.
Of the regulation?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Down. There. Nope, that one.
Okay.
It's not going to let me pull it. Let me see.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Can you zoom in? Let's see. Yeah, there you go. You can go down a little bit. There you go. The middle is
here.
What we're talking about.
Okay.
So the format, this will be the third one, dedication that I'm aware of. There's one that was done in 2026. And I see Barb in the audience. So there was one, a road dedication that was done in 2022 for State Line and High Top Drive.
Yep.
Then last year we did a road dedication of about 14 miles?
I think so.
14 miles, which was allowed, we dedicated that. This is one that, in conversations with the mayor, the city got good news right after Christmas time frame that the state or county, somebody is going to help do the grant for Woodsdale.
It's all through RDOT.
RDOT.
Yep.
So RDOT is going to be doing repaving all of Woodsdale and the four-way stop from Woodsdale up to Holiday Island Drive. And so in keeping with our process of transferring roads over to the city, as we know that the city is going to be probably doing work on that, this is the first, proposing the first reading next week of dedicating both those roads and Hawk Lane. Hawk Lane is actually currently already in the interlocal agreement that the mayor thought or noticed, and he thought that was dedicated back in 2022.
I think it was.
It wasn't. I mean, look, it was Hawk Drive.
Ah.
So we want to go ahead and clean that up and get, and there's actually, can you scroll down to the map? There's actually, no, that's one, the next exhibit. There's actually two parts of Hot Drive that I was. So they've already, or Hot Lane, I'm sorry. There it is. So there's Woodsdale, there you go. Woodsdale is going through the middle, and then Hot Lane, the top line goes from Hot Drive to Holly Island Drive. And then Hot, there's also a Hot Lane that goes, it's a dead end Hot Lane. So I wasn't familiar with that, so I learned that by doing that. So we would propose dedicating both of them to be, so no ambiguity, Hot Lane, both portions would go to the city. That's what I proposed in this regulation.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, because that Hot Lane just, you know, ties into Hot Drive that they already done, or the city already has anyway, so.
Right. Okay, so that's, and so going back up to the verbiage and see if anybody has any questions. That's the intent of this, and the goal would be to have a first reading next week, February 23rd. And anything for the board?
I think it looks right.
Anything for the audience? Yep.
Yep. Woodsdale Holiday, Woodsdale Holiday on Drive.
Thanks, Barb.
Hot potato.
Woodsdale and Holiday Island Drive.
You said Woodsdale and Holiday Island Drive. Where is that?
Oh, good point. Go back to the map. So Woods, there's Woodsdale. I don't know where I said Holiday Island Drive, but state line. Yeah, so there's Woodsdale, where it starts at the bottom, or go scroll up a little bit. So that obviously it's the other, that's where it starts, on the other side of the on the island. It goes all the way down. And this is where the it goes down to the boundary of where the city limits are, the Holiday Island city limits, right there.
I think he was meaning state line, not Holiday Island.
Well, the reason,
because state line is where it intersects to continue on to Woodsdale. So I think he's talking about at state line, not Holiday Island.
So go to state line. I'll show you. And that's why we have exhibits, so I make sure I say it right.
Yeah,
go up
or
down.
There you go.
So that state line, the city already has. The other portion of state, that part of state line, that's already been dedicated. So the state line at Holiday Island Drive, right there, state line at Holiday Island Drive, so all the way to the county line, the city already has. What we're saying is the remainder of state line.
From the four-way to the three-way.
From the four-way to the three-way, and we need to dedicate because that is what the state is going to come and repay. We don't know if it's going to be in 2026 or 2027, but it's been approved, correct me if I'm wrong.
And Woodsdale will be from the low water crossing to the other side of the bridge.
And by the way, who takes care of from that low water crossing to that stop sign?
That is county.
Oh, your map's off.
Who takes care of the road from the low water bridge to the three-way stop sign? Just not over all the time.
So from 187 to the low water crossing is the county. The low wire crossing right there is where Holiday Island border ends.
It's not RDOT then?
Nope, that's county. It's all county. As soon as you get to 187 to the stop sign, then it's RDOT.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions for?
Oh,
I was. Yeah. Thanks, Barb.
At least you're getting your steps in.
I'm good, man. That's good.
29,840 more to go.
Rebecca Sherman. My question when I was reading about this, and I understand the dedication, and you're going to do it exactly the same way as you did the others, right? Where does the road maintenance interlocal agreement come in?
The interlocal agreement is based off the amount of roads, miles of roads that the city own, and then the mathematical equation that the state gives us. So that's exactly how it came up with every year. So if they get that project done in 2026, for the 2027 interlocal, we'll add that 1.8 miles to the Holiday Islands Road Department.
Then I have this question. You'll add it after the fact, right? I understood you. Okay. currently, the road maintenance contract on the other road, when there's a big cut line back there on the state line where the fire, what, station four maybe? The road's been cut, water problem, whatever. So now, who, whether it's that particular area or some other area, who comes in and repairs these roads?
The road department repairs them with the interlocal agreement that we have.
Thank you. That's what I didn't do.
Yeah. With the money that we receive from the city, we maintain the roads.
Okay.
Last call. Any other questions? Okay. Last topic. Pickleball court quote, and going back to Rebecca's comments, I guess in the future we'll kind of say for pickleball
resurfacing. Yeah. We're not putting in more. We're not adding any pickleball balls.
So. This topic has come up, and I guess for the recording, pickleball courts pretty much get used every day. I haven't seen a day out there that I've gone by where somebody's not on. So it is an amenity that has been around for years that has, in my opinion, looking back at our records, and Rich will verify with me because we went back and looked in the file, and has not been updated.
Since it was built?
Since 2020, I think 2007.
It hasn't been maintained.
Yeah, since 2007.
2007. And typical courts are usually every 5 years. Did you remember something, Randy?
I was thinking it was resurfaced about 7 years ago for a price of about $25,000.
That was the company that came in, and I've got all the books and everybody, it showed 2007. Was the last time they pulled up the service, painted it, and taken care of everything.
Wow, I thought it was a lot more recent.
You have 7 years in your brain, maybe for 2007.
Yeah. Timmy and Tommy and Kim and all them, they took and they filled in cracks a few years back and then repainted then. But the last records we pulled up and seen was all of 2007.
Wow.
But either way, it's rough. For an investment that is being used, I think, and we did budget some money in for it, but when we budgeted our 2026 budget, we didn't know.
We had no idea.
We had no idea really what it cost.
What was the idea that we had? What did we put in?
$10,000.
Okay. So we're close.
Which I'm going to say is a pretty good guess considering we didn't even know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so
I guess the first question we have to answer because of the bids, the way they're written. One bid exclusively talks about lifting the slab. I went over and looked at it. I don't know that that's worth an additional $10,000.
I agree with you.
And that's what we're looking at, is the difference, about 10 grand. And the only difference is they're talking about raising the slab, the foam, which I'm very familiar with, but I don't think we're at a, I don't think it's so bad that it needs to be lifted now.
I tend to agree with that as well.
I think we're saying 10 grand. Go with the one of the other bids.
So that's, we have three bids for this.
So that excludes one bid.
I would say so. I know we're not voting yet, but
that's in theory.
And that's
a final bid.
Yeah, and that's just, that 30,000 one just isn't compared apple to apples when I don't think it needs to be jacked.
Okay, so then now we're down to two bids.
Down to real estate bids.
And that's all I want to do is just eliminate that one because
we're really talking about, so for the rest of the audience, we're really talking around the $15,000, and this, we've confirmed these prices actually include tax, so you're not adding tax on top of this. $15,500 for one, and then it was
$14,850.
Full disclosure, I've done a lot of work on this for Rich, so I'll be able to talk a little bit here. Which one's the company? Everline, I believe, is, correct me if I'm wrong, Rich. Everline is the company that is the 15.5?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And Everline is the company that came in last fall with Ruben, and looked at it, checked it all out, did measurements, and
you were here at the time too.
I was here. I was out there. Me and Alan were standing out in the rain, his wife, and all of us were out standing out in the rain and marked it all off. And the only thing they had concerns about were the bird bass. But I mean, if we have to, we'll buy a squeegee so they can, after it rains, they can squeegee it off. But the bird bass were not that bad.
Right. Wasn't one of these bids they're going to fill anything less than 8 to get it level?
That's the second company.
That's the second company.
Oh, okay.
So the Gerald Perry Tennis Company is the one that David found, and they are the original ones of the court.
Right. And they're the ones that came back out in 2007, too. Mm-hmm. And, I was impressed with talking to her, the owner. She knew the history here. She's like, oh, yeah, we've been having it for it. So going back to the other one, just fill in. So they never got back to us, really. We had to hound them. And I finally reached out to the Everline to say, hey, you know, you came out last year. We never got a bid. I talked to his name, Ruben. He was with his supervisor at the time, who's no longer with the company. So his statement was that person, he thought he replied to us. He never did. So he did give us the bid that they thought they were saying. So I'm a little nervous that it's been really hard to get a hold of them, and finally I do, and so I'm leaning really toward the one that's really, really familiar with us.
Is that like Gerald Perry?
No, Gerald Perry, a lot. That's the one that's...
That's what I'm saying.
Everline is
that's
the one that...
That's what you're leaning towards.
Gerald Perry. The one I'm leaning toward is Gerald Perry. The Everline is the one I'm talking about, though. The one that didn't respond back to us and had the issue.
Well, they're so close in price.
Exactly.
I mean,
now it's according. I'm leaning toward.
Here's my 2 cents. Everline is a parking lot resurfacing company that has gotten into tennis courts and pickleball courts. Gerald Perry is a tennis court company. I mean, that's
their brand.
Besides the price difference, the difference is Gerald Perry is a tennis court company. Everline is a parking lot resurfacing company getting into the pickleball scene.
Well, Gerald Perry's less money anyway.
Correct.
Exactly.
Everline was even trying to hit me up for how much were they competitive, and I'm like, well, it's a bid process, so I'm not going to let her tell you that. I'll just say, give me your best bid. So that's what he did.
I did reach out to Everline after this, since, you know, they are a parking lot resurfacing company, and I have them get me a price for the country club parking lots, which was the both them parking lots was the same price as a pickleball court. So,
wow. I would say that we go with the Gerald Perry bid then. I mean,
we'll decide that.
Right. That's my
input. I guess my point for the work session, to make sure we got these discussion, and I know we still don't have the rest of the board here. But I think we have not, I think like many things on our infrastructure and amenities and roads, we've neglected this piece of our amenities that I think we need to bring it up. And also Gerald Perry will also give us, you know, the actual touch-up paints, if you saw that bid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll be able to continue with not necessarily have to resurface. I think that what we're supposed to do it like every 5 years. Mm-hmm. What, 20 years? So it needs some tender loving care is the way I look at it. It's an asset that is being used. I mean, I've also seen the tennis courts. Nobody's talking about tennis, but I don't think we can invest in that kind of asset if nobody's using the asset. But that is another asset that if we were on a long range plan.
Well, I've heard discussion from other people saying we should convert the tennis courts
into pickleball courts. And again, I'm a big advocate of trying to do short and long-term plans, and I think that would be a good idea to look at.
Well, the discussion I had was with pickleball people, so there was some bias.
but there's no tennis, and I don't know.
Exactly, that's their point.
Well,
nobody
yeah.
plays tennis.
If
everybody
it's not
now,
being
all
utilized,
these people, all they want to do is play pickleball. So why do we maintain a tennis court?
If it's not going to be utilized, then why not repurpose it?
And we could make 4 pickleball courts out of that 2 tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the rubber membrane down that is pretty much indestructible. That from what we've seen, especially as long as that tennis court's been up there, it's still in good shape. Probably some patching of the cracks, but they can come in and repaint that whole thing and put down lines and nets. So it's something we could actually look forward or look into.
And I have another idea, because I talked to Al, so for the audience, Alan, I don't remember Alan's last name.
Miller.
But he's Miller. He's Miller. One of our major, and he and Dan Shader, they helped me with some of these bids. So I went to the source and said, who are the Pickleball people, and help me out. So they also found, and there's a company where you can buy the materials, and maybe we look at one of the tennis courts and try and see what it would take to buy the materials, and instead of spending $15,000 on a tennis court, get the materials and maybe experiment to see if we could roll out the paint and do our own pickleball court.
The only problem is the surface that's on the tennis court is that rubber membrane, and you can't use, I mean, the stuff that we kind of looked at for the floating mortar and everything,
right.
We couldn't use on that.
Okay.
It had to be
an idea. I was trying to see if we had a way we could. Yeah.
You don't know, if there's a plastic welder on the cracks and then just repaint the whole thing.
The discussion I had was that if we ever wanted to entertain having pickleball tournaments here, we would actually need the tennis court to be pickleball courts as well. And that would be able to promote a pickleball tournament a couple times a year here at Holiday Island.
I went, and that was part of my research. There's actually a pickleball website. And again, pickleball is the thing of the day right now, and it's been that way for a few years. But there's a pickleball website that they say, hey, here's a place, a destination to go, and you can just see where their destinations are. So and if we had enough, too, it's not going to bring people in. But if you had the whole thing, that might be a draw. So there's a short plan. We have money here, but at long term, if we start putting that on the list of, hey, as we look at things to do, or should I say, as the city looks at things to do, let's see. Anyway, anything else for the board first?
Mm-hmm.
Anything for the audience?
I don't have a problem with your pickleball courts. I highly recommend. When you're talking, here's who I consider to be the runaway train. The city's A&P commission. If you haven't noticed, we already put out a video. They're highlighting a pickleball court. And I guess they didn't really contact anybody about that either. Man, I know you've been talking about this. They're already highlighting it. Mm. And so now, 2 points. It's just a court. So what, with the city, you've got your STRs. And so then I'm going to say this, and I know we're working on the website and something got messed up. I can't find the cost to play in anything. So if the city A&P is going to highlight the pickleball courts, who are they for? Residents? The residents pay how much, like you pay for the pool? And what?
Is there a fee for playing pickleball? I don't believe so.
There isn't.
Currently, there is no fee to play pickleball.
It has a sign that says residents only.
So that one's just a resident only.
But if they're advertising it.
I know, that's where she's going.
Yeah,
no,
I get that.
I
get it.
I'm not on that. Commission, I'm not on your board. I'm just telling you what I see.
But it's definitely a conflict.
And yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. But I've seen some of their ads promote the driving range.
That we don't have
driving.
We don't have.
I've missed that.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, it is a problem, whether it's for the city, whether it's for the CID, and the one field that is my expertise is marketing, and this is a huge problem. Somebody's got the money. You're already looking at several different lawsuits people have been dealing with, and there's been others in the past. But this one has so much potential of being wrong. Because you're also advertising on the World Wide Web, you're now in global problems. When you're on the World Wide Web, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, William.
Well, that's a good point. And,
thank you, William.
As far as moving forward with this, irregardless, we should, in my opinion, we still move forward with maintaining the asset.
Absolutely.
The issue now becomes how to, like, if we expanded this to the tennis courts, the question then becomes, do we open it up to the public like any other, like the pool and everything else? That would be another follow-up. Because now you're investing, you're rehabbing it, but you're now going to have to be bringing in money to use the court from the public. And I'm not saying we're there. We're only talking the two resident-only courts right now. But if we are going to advertise Holiday Island, come and visit, come stay, play, then we definitely have to have that asset, I think, to encourage.
I think the AMP Commission needs to remove pickleball from their ads.
That's probably a good start.
That's the first thing. And
that's
unless
exactly.
We as a board decide to open it to the public and come up with a fee structure, which we don't have, and we're saying that's residents only.
It's resident only right now.
The AMP should not be advertising.
They should not be advertising as a public amenity.
Right.
All right, let me just say this about that. Like the pool, like the golf course, we let STR owners have their guests use our amenities. This would be the same thing. Any guest of an STR should be able to use the pickleball course.
Should.
For free?
Right.
But
yeah, whatever. If the owner doesn't have to pay, which we don't, they should be able to come down and use the rec center.
As long as
like the guest of the owner.
Yeah, as long as they're accompanied with an owner.
Yeah.
Is what we
well,
made
I don't
it.
Know about accompanying. At STRs, you're not going to get the owner coming down.
No.
I was going to say,
but the homeowners.
We still have that issue of how do we recognize you as being a
STR
person renting.
Yeah, and that falls right underneath the problem that we've had with the swim pool and charging out the swim pool for the rental, the Airbnb people and everything else. So we'd have to lump it in with that.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So we'd, yeah.
And again, since the owner of that property wouldn't have to pay to use the pickleball park, their guests wouldn't either. That's just my logic here.
I guess mine is I want to recoup some of the money that we spend on maintenance.
I don't blame you for that, but that's what our assessments are for.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, then I think the whole thing needs to be reworded that it's not only it's residents and short-term rental guests.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess maybe we need to reword it and leave it as it is as far as the AMP Commission. And we need to reword what we're saying as residents only. It would be like a pool, residents and registered guests of homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the right answer, because then it's not open to the public per se.
Right.
It would be a draw, again, a lot of these things we're trying to say, hey, come visit Holiday Island, to the advertising. We have a lot of good things to enjoy. Here, STR visitor, check this out. Oh, I love it. Maybe I want to move here. I mean, that's kind of, I think, the global
goal of marketing Holiday Island is to get people to come, visit, like it, buy it.
Right.
Yes.
All right, Rebecca.
Okay.
Rebecca's been trying to help us too.
Yeah.
So, all right, I could not find the sheets for the rates, so bear with me when I'm asking this stuff. So, I'm a property owner. So, if my family comes to visit and I want to take everybody down to the pool, I want to take everybody down to play miniature golf, pickleball, shoot baskets, who left? Am I paying for any of them?
No.
No.
No. Okay, so now, but if I'm using the pavilion, I gotta rent that one, right?
Yes.
Do I have to reserve the softball court? Or field? And do you reserve pickleball? Do you reserve that?
They have a sign-up sheet. Janice has a sign-up sheet there because it was getting so overloaded. The pickleball court was getting so loaded over that she asked people to call in and set reservations or tip-off times for the pickleball court now.
Yeah, I get that. I don't play that, but I wondered. So
the softball field, I mean, it doesn't...
You just have to reserve it. I don't
yeah.
know how to do it.
I live across the street. There's probably 3 people a year playing that softball
field. Yeah. And it's same with the tennis courts and the basketball courts. I mean, they just don't give a large number there. But the pickleball, you do have to call and reserve a time.
Okay. So now, if you're reserving it, but you got a sign up that says residents only, but you just told Barb that the STR people, some guests, can come use it. So let's say, 60?
STRs?
Yeah.
About 100. Yeah, about 100.
Close to 100. So there are close to 100 STRs, and if they ever get filled, I don't know, Memorial Weekend, and you're fixing this pickleball court, and one company's out of Springfield, Missouri. So any idea how soon they'll get that done?
So the pickleball courts, I talked to, both of them said if we pass this next week, that we could be on the schedule definitely sometime in April.
April.
Just to fix the one.
We're not even talking yet about the other tennis court one. There's two pickleball courts that we're proposing.
Okay, so... I'm still trying to connect the city SDRs, high SID ownerships SDRs, and all these guests. So some of these houses that there are guests in, they hold 8 to 10 people, max ones. So you get a resident like myself that just has family that comes in, and then you get an SDR that's doing business, it's got 8 people that come in. How are you setting a priority if you're, and I'm only asking questions, I'm not complaining, I'm putting this out for you to think about. So if Janice is asking people to sign up, who gets first pick?
First come, first serve. If you know your family's coming in 2 weeks and they want to play pickleball, you make that reservation 2 weeks ahead of time versus that STR that's just coming in that day and finding out there's pickleball courts and trying to make a reservation that day. Mm-hmm. At this point, all we're talking about is just first come, first serve.
Right.
As we expand, there might be something that we look at further, you know, in the long run.
I hope we eventually get that problem.
100%. That'd be a lovely problem to have. But at this point, it's just first come, first serve.
Well, I also think at that point, we then consider converting the tennis courts to pickleball. If we've got that much of a demand,
because now you're the revenue
right.
stream too.
If we get to the point where we're turning away 20 guests because the court's full, then we got to really think about expanding. But until we start turning away 20 guests, it's going to be first come, first serve, get your time.
Okay, I just threw it out there so you would think about who sits next to each other and what they talk about. And
Yeah, so we'll learn to separate you two from now on.
So you two are separate sides of the room now going forward.
At least you got Linda in the back now, so she can be a part of it. So.
All right. Good discussion. Anything else on the pickleball? Okay, yes.
On the pickleball, instead of doing both, do one. Can you do one for now?
That's all we're doing. It's one big area. It's two courts in that whole fenced-in area.
And it actually is cheaper because by them doing two, it's hey, we're coming in to do something. It's more to do the two. They're on the same court.
One foul scoop.
She said if we did it each, the average is 10,000 a court.
Gotcha.
Well, the stage you can set up times the same to do two as it is to do one.
Right, so it's more cost effective to do both of them right now.
Yeah. I'm just thinking the people that come in to play might be younger and say, where's your tennis court? You know, I wanted to play tennis, and we don't have tennis now. We got a bunch of pickleball, and they may not be as happy if they had one court versus all pickleball. Some people do like to play tennis.
You're saying in the future, do it. Get it.
No, that's true. If we look, because how many tennis courts? We got the two big ones. Two big ones. So again, there's room to work over here. And like I said, maybe to your point, we don't lose tennis as an amenity all out, but we're toward half of the tennis.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't want him to hand me that thing. I don't. And I don't have any idea today. I do know the pickleball thing comes out of Seattle, by the way. But do they still do tennis in high school and college? I think so.
I don't have a clue.
Did I hear them say?
I'll let you know in 10 minutes.
I know they still do tennis.
When my grandkids get up there?
Yeah. Right.
Do they have tennis?
And is it still an Olympic thing? Or what is it? Wimbledon, right? So when I do remember, I've been here for 42 years, I do remember that the high school group used to come and use the court for the practices and so forth. And there is, if you want to stop being old retirement people, and go back to the concept of a community. I've thought this one for years. That you might not eliminate tennis.
Yeah. So you're saying by eliminating the tennis court, we may be losing that demographic of younger people.
That's possible. Okay. And the thing here was the other thing about that tennis court, which I know you did lose. It was the one thing that has the lights you turn on. It used to have lights to turn on a timer. And by having that, not only could people come out and play in the evening when it was cooler, they could also, I could turn those lights on and it'd light up that whole playground area also. And there would be a volleyball court or net up. The light was so bright. You could do a lot of stuff after
dark. I don't know on the lights. That's before my time. Are the lights still there for the tennis court? Are they? I honestly don't know. They don't get
no it. Idea. See, isn't it nice to have an old timer?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to go look and see if the lights are still there.
Yeah.
900 colleges.
Maybe all they need is a bottle.
I mean, tennis is still very big.
But again, long and short term. Short term, definitely get this pickleball taken care of.
I understand the pickleball thing. I do. And you're right.
It needs to be.
It's got a presence big time.
Yeah.
My only comment is we need to change the wording then so it's not residents only.
Yeah, that's.
We have to change that wording to include.
And as
property owners.
Huh?
Well, it'd be property owners and guests.
Property owners and guests. That's all.
And that's a sign, because it's literally, I saw a sign, but I went out there to look at it. It's just a sign. Okay.
I got some other stuff that Wicker Walker might be doing, so maybe I can lump that in with that.
Yeah, and then
get a better price.
All right. Last call. Got a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So the meeting is adjourned.